you know, we'll, see, folks think
he's
that.
He's from Harmony.
Folks think that,
And he's got a family song.
Congressman Big Horse, we got the audio going.
Okay, thank you, Caitlin. If I can have your all's attention, I'm going to call this cultural meeting to order. The time is 1 p.m. The date is March the 31st. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Present.
Second Speaker Revard.
Here.
Congressman Keene.
Present.
Congressman Maker.
Here.
Chair Big Horse.
Present. We have a quorum. Congressman Maker, would you render us an afternoon prayer, please?
Yes, sir. Tatsuwakanta, Tatsuwakanta Zinki. Ampaka Haida Hawanaki Talikomba. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day. I want you to be here today with us and give us your wisdom and knowledge to do the right thing for our people. I want you also to comfort those that recently have losses. We have another loss in our people today. One of your children, Father, has left us. So I want you to welcome them to your kingdom. Also, we want you to look after the children, the elders, service people, first responders, all those that's taking care of all our people. Help those people in the Ukraine that's having a hard time, Father. Bring peace to all of our peoples, all your peoples of the earth. And keep that sickness away again, Father. It's trying to come back. Keep it away from us, Father. Take care of us. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Congressman. Next on the agenda is approval of minutes. You have minutes in your packet from September the 28th.
Chair, this is Revard.
Congress, second speaker.
Yes, thank you. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as presented, dated September 28th, 2021.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the minutes from the 28th and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Minutes are approved. Moving on to item number 25, ONCA 22-28, an act to authorize and appropriate the amount of $600,000 to the Capital Asset Fund for architectural design and engineering of a new Osage Nation Heritage Center and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Revard. And I am the co-sponsor, so I'm going to turn this over to Congresswoman Revard.
Okay, thank you, Chair Big Horse. So in our audience today, I invited the director of our cultural departments. We have Van Big Horse, and who's over our language program, and Addie Hudgens over our cultural department, and Marla Redcorn, who's over our museum, and Dr. Hunter, I believe she's joining us via Zoom. And Dr. Hunter is the director of our Historic Preservation Office. And so I've been wanting to sponsor this bill for some time. And one of the this is one of my goals as an elected official for this, for my term. And this has been well thought out and talked about for years. I want to say back when the language program started, I think that was around 2003 or four, through the 31st Tribal Council. And then from that spun off the cultural department. And then, of course, we've always had a museum and then our historic pres. And so we had bought the building for the language program a while back, of course, and it was an old car dealership. And with it, you know, came some structural issues. And since then, we've done some renovations. We've had different departments that were housed there, including the tax commission, and I think the museum gift shop was there at one time. And so it's had a lot of movement, but it also has had a lot of Band-Aids to try to fix it up and things of that nature. And of course, we use it for office space and our classrooms for our language and cultural classes. And so right now, Historic Pres, and I'm saying this for the folks that may be listening that aren't familiar with how we operate, our Historic Pres office is located in the bank building, upstairs on one of the floors. And then, of course, our museum, they have to office out of our actual museum. And so as we were aware that we're in the midst of doing a museum expansion, so I just thought, following the strategic plan, which I follow as an elected official footprint, and these are things that were efforts that came back as a result of the strategic plan when we updated the plan, but also in the original plan. So it's been with us for some time that our folks have asked for these type of buildings and expansions. So what I'm doing is addressing the issues and listening to our people. This isn't about me. This is about what our people wanted. And right now I feel like Standing Bears administration is doing a lot right now with regards to language and culture, and doing a lot of electronic efforts for people that do not live at home. And we're blessed to have the ARPA dollars, and I'm glad that they were designated to our language, culture, and museum efforts. And Historic Pres plays a big role in our preservation of a lot of our records and our land and artifacts and things of that nature. So I wanted to just follow through with what we've been talking about for so long. And so that's the history that I have. But, Chair, I invited these guys down to talk to us, the committee, and tell us what comments that they may have. And I also attended our Cultural Advisors Committee meeting last Friday and spoke to them about this bill. And they made a motion to support this bill. And I was honest with them and said, if you don't support it, I'll withdraw it. And but they all showed support and understood. And one of the things I brought up was the fire suppression that holds our records, you know, helps protect our records of who we are. And also, we know we have issues with our elevator. So we have a building that is two stories, but we can only access the bottom floor. And so be that as it may, I just wanted to give you guys a chance to talk to the committee and offer your comments and support. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Mr. Big Horse, would you like to start off? And I think we're talking about a multi-purpose building, aren't we?
Yes, sir. And to be clear, I think you guys that have read the bill, I'm only asking for the A&E piece of it, the first phase. I'm not asking for the full build yet. I want to know what the A&E is in the location. That's up to you guys, the executive branch. So Kaihika did call me and mention that they were looking at putting it next to the museum, which I think would be a great fit, especially following that master plan that you guys had worked on back in the day. So,
Well, thank you for having us here today, and we want to thank Congress and thank the Cultural Committee here, the chair and the sponsors, and the Cultural Committee here for having us come here today and speak on behalf of these programs. And yeah, like you say, Congressman Rewart, the building that we had, it fit for what we were doing at the time. And Congressman Maker, you work there and you understand what I'm talking about. And all of us here, Paula, and Congressman.
Brother, don't mean to interrupt, but will you speak closer to your mic?
So anyways, like I was saying, I just want to thank the Congress here and thank the chair and the sponsor of this bill. And like we say that we've been in the building since the beginning, in 2004. And I think we've come to the point where we do need to have a new facility built. And Congresswoman, as speaker here was saying that, the fire suppressant, that's very important. And my concern is for the children and our employees that work at the building there. There's a lot of those classrooms and offices that go way back into the back of the building there. And if there was a fire to ever happen, it wouldn't be good, because it's all made of wood, and it would probably go up in about an hour, if that long. And so if someone was to get caught back there, they probably wouldn't be able to find their way out of there, because it's just a lot of twists and turns and things like that. But yeah, I think it's we appreciate your thoughts and concerns about the language program and the cultural program and employees and all of our students and Osage people that come there. So I just want to say that much about it, and I just feel like it is time for us to have a new facility at this time. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Hudgens.
Thank you guys for having us here, inviting us. I echo a lot of what Van says. I became the director of the Cultural Center in 2017. Shortly after that, we moved from what is now the Civic Center into the building we're currently in. And I think that was a great move for us. It put our language and our cultural departments together. And to have a building where we could all be, along with historic preservation, all of us together, working together, would be amazing. I am now fully staffed, and we are running out of office space. We have one big room where we can have classes, and just with my staff alone in there, we're cramped. So we need more space. I think it's very important that we all continue to be together, because we all work together. We're all one. Like Van said about our building now, it's a maze back there. And if you don't know your way around back there, you will get lost. It took me a good 3 months to navigate it. And if you don't know your way back there, you will get lost. There was something else I wanted to say, and I can't remember what it is now. Wherever that building may be, that's, for the chief or the whoever to decide. I'm happy with wherever we go. I'm just excited to have more space, more classroom space, meeting space, and get us all in one location together. So that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Morla? I saved you for last, because I think this really does fit with the museum.
I like that concept mm-hmm. and that idea. And I love what you've done with the museum so far.
Thank you very much, and thank you, committee. I think that it's an excellent idea. I mean, as Addie said, you know, the decision is going to be held, you know, with other people. But I think integrating these different cultural departments we could only do great things, because as everyone knows, these things did not come up in these disciplined areas, but it was integrated as one thing at one time, where art and language and culture and all those things work together. And they work together and keep us together as a people and the different activities that we do. So to have access for a student, say from the immersion school, to be able to go to a cultural class, go to a language class, and then go to an immersive space, if we can work with working with the language department, that they go into the museum and the exhibition area, and it is written in Osage first and then English, so that we do this. We've talked about having annual themes, so that we're integrating programming across those boards, so that people see that full spectrum of understanding of language, of culture, of arts, of creative production, and of community. And so I think that it's an incredible idea. I'm very happy for the people who work in those spaces to be able to have an opportunity to have the classrooms and the facilities to continue to do the great work that they're doing. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Is Dr. Hunter on the call?
Dr. Hunter, are you on? Who is 638-1170?
Hi, Chairman. It's Morgan Curry. I was on for a later bill with Dr. Hunter.
Okay. All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Well, Chair, if I could, I think another thought I had about Addie's program is we have a library that she has developed into an actual library, and I feel like if we had that space, that could help with your library as well.
May I?
Yes.
Yes, we do have a library. I think there are I can't remember what our last number of entries was, but I want to say around 3,000. And it does need its own space. It's taken up a good space in what little space we have now. So it needs its own space. It needs the fire the suppression, all that. And what else? Our trunk room, our cultural trunks. We have to have a special room for those as well, where we store those. So that's taking up space. We've got all these little things that, you know, they're not little, they're big things that we need to protect and take care of, and they all have to have their own space. So
thank you, Ms. Hutchins. Congresswoman Rivard, did you have anything else?
No, I don't think so. And I wish Dr. Hunter was on the call, and she may join here pretty soon for the other piece of legislation. But, you know, it's important. John, or Congressman Maker, he was part of the language program, and I was too back in the day. And that's not why I'm here as a reason, but I'm just saying that we've been part of the growth, you know, and to see where it was and where we are now. And I'm excited about that. And with growth comes costs. And as I mentioned, I'm just asking for the A&E piece. And I was glad to be able to visit with Kaihika about the location, because, you know, I try to work with the executive branch as much as I can on these items, because it takes both branches to get this done. But I don't want it to stall, and that was one of the questions that the cultural advisor folks had. You know, why is it keep stalling? And I said, I think it was location. And so that makes me feel good. So hopefully this, you know, comes to life for our people, and, you know, as we say, for generations to come. And so those are my comments. So thank you guys for coming down, and I'm just asking the committee to... Yeah, you want to talk about that real quick? That'd be great.
Just one more comment was that we, that's been probably about maybe four years ago or so, we had a company come in and do a structural assessment on the building. We was going to move upstairs. Like Addie says, you know, we're completely out of space, and we have one teacher that sits out in the lobby there in the language department, and he has, you know, there's no privacy for him neither as well. But anyways, upstairs there was a fire years ago upstairs there, so we was going to expand up there and put the library and half that was going to be culture and half that was going to be language. But since the fire was up there, it's not structurally fit at all for anything to be up there. So just wanted to make that comment.
Thank you, sir. Committee, any questions or comments? Congresswoman Shaw?
Thank you, Chair. I really don't have a question. I just would like to say that I was at the Tribal Cultural Advisors meeting where second speaker presented, and they were very, very much in favor of this and want to see this move forward. Thank you for bringing this piece of legislation to us. And also, I just want to say thank you for consulting with the Tribal Cultural Advisors, because I agree with you that we should use them and their knowledge and experience on items such as these. So I support this effort 100%. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Chair, I have.
Yes, Congressman. Yeah,
I just have some comments, not really questions, but yeah, I agree with everything that's been said here. I, as you know, I worked at the language for 7 years, like 10 years ago, and it was okay then, like Mr. Big Horse said, but even then it was like, wasn't the ideal place, you know. We really need, I mean, we are the Osage Nation, one of the leading tribes of the whole United States, and we do need to have a really beautiful building, a heritage center. And I think that's a great thing that we need to have it. I mean, there's, I don't know what in the past has been obstacles to it. No money, location. I think we even had back in the day a plan for a beautiful facility up there on the Skyline Drive. And I think those plans are still available. But yeah, I think this is badly needed. I fully support it, and we need to start on it just as quickly as possible. Get it done. Thank you.
Y'all be sure and use your microphones close to your mouth.
Is Dr. Hunter's on? Could we, Dr. Hunter, this is Jody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Hunter. I invited, you know, of course yourself and Van and Addie and Marla to come down to offer any comments or support of the bill for a new heritage center. And I was just wondering if you had any comments about this new facility, because of course, you know, I'm hoping you'd be housed there as well with your offices.
Well, I think that we certainly are in favor of a new building. We are pretty cramped where we are in the bank building, and as you know, it has, you know, some issues with mold and mildew, and we would really much appreciate being in a new facility, and we would really like to be together with the other cultural departments as well.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I was can I just one more and then I'll be done and then the committee can do whatever they'd like.
Sure.
Also, I'd like to provide space for cultural advisors to have a place to meet. Right now they're meeting in the law building, and I think it would be great if they could also have space in the new Heritage Center.
Yes, they should have. Committee, any other comment or question? If not, the chair would entertain motion or movement.
Chair.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Motion to report ONCA 2228 with the due pass recommendation to the floor of Congress. Thank you.
Second.
We have a motion with a due pass to Congress. The second, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Big Horse and Ms. Hudgens and Ms. Marta. We appreciate you all. Okay, next on the agenda is ONCA 2236, an act to recognize the Osage Nation villages as local units of government of the Osage Nation and to provide an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Stabler. Congresswoman Stabler, you have the floor, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. Bill 2236 is regarding the village committees. Since the 1960s, the village has had five-man committees that have managed the villages. They have little constitutions that say they're in charge of the health, safety, and welfare of the villages. And they were addressed in the CFRs. So this is not about the village properties, which are in the 1906 Act. This is about the little village committees. So all these years, they have raised funds and taken care of the villages on their own. They were acknowledged and through the tribal council. And then once we got into the new constitution, there was a question about their existence. So there's one line in the constitution that does refer to the villages, and we've hung on that for all these years because it does take a group of people to manage these properties. They haven't ever had much money. The highest we got to was after the new government came into play and gaming came into play, that they started receiving $50,000 a year to pay their utilities. And that will cover utilities, and that's about all anymore. But these villages, for people who don't know, I can't imagine anyone who doesn't know, but these villages are our cultural homes. This is where it's not just about the people who live there. It's about the district's cultural homes. This is where our traditions, our dances, our namings, our dinners, our celebrations, it all goes back to there. It's where we take our people when they pass. It's our home. And, the history of the Little Wake and Iron is that it was the old schoolhouse here in town. So my dad and different ones went to school there. And when they were going to build a new schoolhouse, Wake and Iron and my grandma and a few others talked about bringing that little schoolhouse over to the village. So they bought the house, brought it over, the men in the village reset the house, and they turned it into the first little community building. So that's where those that are my age and older grew up, going to hand games, going to dances, having dinners. I think my graduation dinner was there and everything. And it became a pivotal part of that community. Up till then, they'd use summer houses or just their own houses. So it kind of changed the little dynamic there. It kind of replaced our longhouses that we used to have. So I guess I'm trying to get to make that connection of that cultural spirit that goes along with all of this. That's what we're really, truly talking about. So in the 60s, a little group was formed, and like I said, constitutions were written and stuff, and it was for a little committee that could manage it because, truth be told, the tribal council did not want to manage the villages. You can imagine what the day-to-day activities are out there, the mowing of the grass, the paying the utilities, the keeping the plumbing running, taking care of your resident requests, all of those types of things. And so it hasn't really changed that much. The place itself has changed. We've now built beautiful arbors and community buildings and chapels, and it's become a much, much more of an undertaking for these villages.
I wanted to express too that, you know, what I guess I'll say first, what really happened here was the chief called me a couple years ago and just said, you know, you're out of time. We're going to rewrite the CFRs. We have the opportunity to work with the federal government, rewrite the CFRs, and the villages, the village committees are no more. And I just thought, you know, I just hate to see that happen. I hate to see the chief's office, or, and not meaning the chief, but the executive office, really be the one that we go to for village issues. It should be the villages' problems. These villages were originally established with bands and clans, and now we've got districts. So they have a cultural representation that's deeper to me than the government. So these village committees were really set up, or to me, established to be a liaison between the council at that time and the districts. You know, one of the long conversations I've had with the head committeeman at Pawhuska was that they didn't want to have to get involved in that. They didn't want to have to run up to the tribal offices and deal with the business of the villages. They just wanted to deal with the cultural, the war dance committees, and those cultural aspects that go on out there. So I always felt responsible to take care of that for them. And so that's another responsibility of these committees. So what I've tried to do, and Chief said, you know, if you're going to do something, you better do it. So we got started on it, and we used his counsel, Terry Mason Moore, and Rebecca Patterson. We also spent a day working with the solicitor's office. We worked with real estate services. There was a lot of people involved, and in between times, I was going out to the villages and presenting what we had so far, the drafts that we had going so far. What we were trying to come up with is, what did these villages need to be able to continue? So what we came up with is the villages, let's see. The villages, like I keep saying, you've got this cultural tie to them. They're not like normal boards and commissions. They have some duties like them, but they're not like normal boards and commissions. They're ours. They're Osage. They're whatever in the world we want to make them out to be. And so I came up with an idea of letting them conform to what they think they needed to handle. So that they, because they are dealing with business, they're dealing with payables, they're dealing with receivables, they're dealing with keeping the buildings clean, they're dealing with keeping the grass mowed, you know, anything that comes up that the residents need help with, they try to help that. But the main properties, the central properties, are what they deal with. And the grass. Grass is just like the number one issue around here for months a year. So it was to give them that kind of authority to maintain and to work with the government. That's one of the things that we had to try to realize, as hard as it was, to realize that we are dependent on the tribe. We're dependent on them for financial stability, because the villages are not allowed to have business. They can fundraise, but they can't have business. And even when they fundraise, they have to follow law. So it all starts getting tied back to the village, to the villages having to operate under tribal law. Okay. So then when we had the problem with, we had illegal activity going on out there, where do we go? We have to go back to the tribe. So I wrote this so that they could determine what parts they use. Let's talk about procurement, just as an example. Procurement, they need to buy a bunch of equipment for the village. They can use tribal procurement. Matter of fact, I think there's a bill out there that gave them up to $50,000 they could handle themselves, otherwise they had to go through procurement. So they can go up to procurement and work with them, or they can do that part themselves, but they have to predetermine it.
They have to decide how they're going to run that, how they're going to do their financials. They have to decide how they're going to hire personnel. That's the little government piece that is them. And it has to be approved. That has to be approved by the Treasury. So that was one way to get them the financial stability that they needed, because there would be things in there that would protect the village and protect the nation and give them the leverage that they needed to get business done. As somebody who was out there for over 10 years as the chair, I'm telling you, it became a red tape mess to try to order anything. We tried to order lawnmowers one year, and it was the next year before we could get them ordered, working through procurement upstairs. And that was difficult. So the village can go through and determine what it is that they're going to use. If they want to continue on just like they are and run everything through the Treasury, that's absolutely fine, but they have to put it on a piece of paper. They have to say, this is how this village is going to run. And they have to turn it into the Treasury, and the Treasury has says, we approve that financial piece. If they want to write a bill about, not a bill, they don't write bills. If they wanted to write an ordinance about parking or something like that, then they can write an ordinance about parking, and they get it approved in the village, and then they bring it up here and we get it adopted into law. So they do become like a little sub government to this nation. Now, this is where all the controversy comes in, of why would I want to keep fighting for this? Number one, I think the districts and the villages have the right to decide what goes on in their cultural homes. The overall law, yes. The tribal police, yes. All of that needs to apply. But for that little core of the health, safety, and welfare of the villages, I think they should have the right to determine and to operate that way. The other thing is, what I guess a lot of people don't know, is there's been times when the tribe came after the village. When I was on the board the first go around, the 30th Council came after the village, and they wanted to move the Pawhuska Village because they wanted the land for casinos. And we had a fight on our hands, and we finally won it. But that wasn't the first time. It had happened before when Uncle Ed was still alive. So those politics and that, you know, who gets to be the most powerful comes into play. These villages are the last three remaining villages of the Osage people. We had over a dozen villages in Kansas, and of course, many, many more before that. This is the last three, and we had eight at one time, but the last three. I don't want to see that disturbed. And in those days, there was a map that showed where we lived and where we were placed based on our bands and our clans, especially our clans. And the hierarchy of those villages, by the leadership, the hereditary hierarchy of those villages was maintained. That's where leadership was. That was our culture. And I just hate to give it up. I don't want to give it up. I want some autonomy for these villages to operate and take care of their people in alignment with the committees and the districts. You know, our head committeeman are the most important people to us. Those committees are the most important people to us. And so I'm trying to respect them in this way. This has not been an easy track. It's not been an easy solution to come up with, but we think we have come up with one that would hopefully appease everyone. And in the end, it'll all be on paper. It'll all be covered. We'll have protection for these villages. They will have the financial responsibility that they need to operate, and we should do that for them. The one thing that the 1906 Act does to the villages is you cannot have business in these villages. Okay, that's fine. Then we need to make sure they're financially taken care of. And all of that's in here. This is, it's not really to me a confusing bill, so I hope you all will read it and read it with care. But it does have some twists and turns in it, because I wanted to give them the ability to decide. We're going to operate with everything in the Treasury and everything, or we don't want to. We want to handle it this way. And as long as it can be approved and it can be balanced and it has the checks and balances it needs, and they've determined that's how they want to operate, because that's the one thing about these villages, they're all different. And they want to be different. And I want to give them that ability to be different. So this is my attempt to keep us going, to keep our villages going, the land that no one else has lived on but Osages since the beginning of time. You know, this land is important to us. These dances, and we treat them, these arbors, like they're cathedrals. So I want to try to hang on to that. And if you think that happens all by itself, it does not. These 5-man committees have their work cut out for them and the dedication for it. And the one thing I've been most proud of for all the years that I've been involved in it, these people do it voluntarily because they're Osages. That way the greed is out of it. They're just there trying to take care of their people. I spent many midnights over there cleaning those buildings because family was coming in the next day, picking up trash. We lined them up in the Pasca Village. We lined them up across the fields, and they walked the fields together, picking up all the trash and the meth labs and the old box springs and everything to clean them up. I had people come to me that lived outside the village when we cleaned up the village the first time and started mowing the grass. Came in and said, "Now, well, where are we all supposed to take our stuff that we dump? We've always dumped it in the Pahuska Village." That's the way people thought of it. You know, drugs were rampant. 5 major drug houses in the Pahuska Village, and we cleaned it up. It takes commitment and 24/7 to stay on top of it. And now we've got things nice. Drive through the Pahuska Village. It's looking good. And it has been for several years. And I'm so proud of the fact that the people that are on there today are working that hard for it. So this is an emotional thing for me. And I'm hoping you all can support it. I'm not sure. We had a technical cancellation of this committee on the internet or through email. And I don't know if that's why they're not here, but I did invite all the villages to be here today. And so I don't know if you all are wanting to hear from them or not, and how we want to proceed. It's okay with me. But like I said, I just was determined to do this at this time because this, you know, could be my last time to make this effort for the village. So that's all I have to say today.
Second speaker. I got second speaker, and then was that you, Christian?
It's Congressman Keene. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I was wondering, do you want to consider maybe a recess to reach out to those folks? Because I agree, Congresswoman Stabler, I'd love to hear from the 5-man boards, or if they're available, and if that's something that you'd like to do. I think you're right. You said it. This is the time to hear from them, and or, you know, we table this and come back if you can get to them or whatever. I'm just saying that I'd like to hear from them if they're available.
I'll do whatever. I don't know if they, you know, once they've been told it's over, if they are all still around, but I can try emailing and see.
I don't think.
Chair, could I say something real quick?
Yes, Congressman King.
Yeah, okay. On the record, I support this bill, but I want to clear up some confusion here. When we passed our new constitution in 2006, any law we pass as a Congress supersedes any 1906 Act verbiage.
We pass as a Congress.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, continue.
That law, that 1906 law, is in fact void. We can pass our own laws to govern these villages wholly. I just want to make that clear from a legal aspect.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, and I brought this up many times before, and I understand you know, the political ramifications. I think that's largely why we haven't addressed this in the past. And I mean, no disrespect to Congresswoman Stabler, but like those old CFRs, yeah, you can pull them up online and look at them. But if we pass law that overrides that, our law will control. If you ever get any kind of adjudicated matter in front of a federal judge, he'll just follow the timeline and say, no, your new Osage law overrides this CFR language. So I just want to make that clear. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Are there any questions concerning what Mr. Keene had to say? Okay. If not, it would be my suggestion that we postpone this and I'll set another meeting next week and we can contact all the villages and have a representative or two.
Okay.
Board.
Okay. Be happy to do that. Thank you.
Chair, could we, Polly, you mentioned your other team that you had been working with. Maybe we could invite them as well.
You're talking about realty and legal and
yeah,
and all that. I can show
yes, ma'am.
Talk to them too. Sure.
I think that would be it would be great to see the full team and the villages. I think this is important enough and that we invite them down so that if anybody has any questions, we can get them cleared up.
Sure.
Yeah, realty is very knowledgeable about them, so. Okay.
Need a motion? Motion to postpone 2236 to the call of the chair.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to postpone to the call of the chair and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, 2236 is postponed, and we will reschedule. So that moves us down to item number 7, which is 21-114, an act to amend the Osage Nation Cultural Preservation Act in order to add definitions. Invest all cultural preservation regulatory authority in the Historic Preservation Office. The author is Congresswoman Rivard. Second speaker, you have the floor, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I appreciate it. I've invited Dr. Hunter, of course, and Morgan Curry from the Attorney General's Office has been working alongside Dr. Hunter with this initiative, and we had discussed this back on September 28th, 2021, and we weren't able to get down to the agenda. So thank you, Chair, for agreeing to put it back on the agenda during Hanukkah. And so I would like, I just want you guys to know that Trey has also been involved with some of the calls that we've made to Dr. Hunter. And so, we've talked about this piece of legislation more than once, and so this is the first time it's been presented to committee, so I'd like to hand it over to Dr. Hunter at this time.
Ms. Hunter, you have the floor, ma'am.
Thank you. The proposal for the amendments are pretty straightforward in terms of the definitions that we have included here. And there are, in the original bill, there were only 4 definitions, and we have expanded that. We've added 13 new definitions, and then we split one of the original definitions into 2. And these are all simply for clarification. These are terms that we typically use. And in working with Morgan Curry, she thought that it would be most appropriate to add these definitions to the bill. In so that is section 1-102, and then section 1-103 was originally the declaration of policy, and we've added purpose to that section. Again, just for clarification, and actually in 1-104 is also additional terms, changing the Tribal Historic Preservation Office to the Osage Nation Historic Preservation Office, adding the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer. The original bill only had Historic Preservation Office and scope of authority. So again, this is really for clarification purposes, but the one significant change is in subsection C of 104. And in this section, what we are proposing is that under the National Historic Preservation Act, there is a subsection in it which allows tribes who have taken on the role of Tribal Historic Preservation Officer in terms of taking on duties that the State Historic Preservation Officer has, tribes that do that, take on portions which our tribe has, those tribes with historic preservation offices are allowed the ability, if they choose, to set regulations in terms of procedures under Section 106 of the Historic Preservation Act, which is the section that our office works under in terms of protecting and preserving sites of significance to tribes. And right now we have to follow the regulations that have been set by the Advisory Council on Historic Preservation. And this section of the Act allows us to set our own regulations on our tribal lands. And so that is what we would like to do at this time, is to take on that function and set our own regulations for our trust lands in terms of protecting our cultural resources and working with federal agencies who propose projects that would fall under this this regulation. So Section D is the language to allow the Historic Preservation Office to take on that role and to create those regulations.
Okay. Anything else? Well, first of all, I'll open it up to Congress. Do you have any question over what Dr. Hunter just went over? Congressman Maker?
Yes, Dr. Hunter, I think that's a great idea, but personally, I always think about is, what are there going to be any cost to these changes? I mean, I'm sure there will be in some of your possible new regulations.
Cost to the nation? Cost.
Yes, Dr. Hunter.
Yes, so in your... Well, I don't know. I haven't seen your list of amendments. That's my question. Is there going to be any cost to these penalties or what have you? That's my question. Thank you.
Yes, that's what we are working with the Attorney General's office in establishing. What penalties or permits or costs that we would want to include in these regulations for violations.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you correct, you are still working on, this piece is still a work in progress?
Well, the amendments to this bill gives the Historic Preservation Office the ability to set regulations. And so we need the approval to be able to set regulations, and then we'll draft them. We're in anticipation of approval. We have started drafting regulations.
Okay, that I understand that. Congresswoman Rivard?
Yes, thank you. So as I understand and talking with Morgan and Trey and Dr. Hunter, this is the first step for them to set regulations in place. And once that's happened, then they'll work with the AG's office on creating, you know, fines and costs to fine other people for violating our regulations. So I think that she can't go any further without us approving this piece of it. And so I'm in support of this, most certainly. I mean, I sponsored it, but I'm curious if any other committee members have any questions for her. You know, Dr. Hunter has been doing this for a long time. And so when I spoke to her, I had the most questions because I wanted her to kind of also educate me with regards to we have a TIPO designation now, and a lot of things have happened, and there was a designation. I think there's 200 tribes now that have been designated by the National Park Service. Is that correct? And we're one.
Yes.
And we applied for the designation and we were granted that. And so that's what's causing her to come and say, well, we need regulations now, because we've been granted that designation, and so we have to have our own. So,
thank you. Congresswoman Stabler?
Yes, thank you. Just a couple of questions. So this is interesting, and I'm glad it's coming about. So when the regulations are developed, or just from a technical standpoint, will these regulations be coming back through us, or are these, once these are approved by the Historic Preservation Office, are they, is that it? Is that, they write them, they approve them, and that's it? Or do they come back through Congress? And the other part of it is, are they recognized in the outside courts, or is this something that would just be going through tribal court?
Dr. Hunter?
When the regulations are created and put in motion, under C, the last sentence states that they shall not be final until published and noticed pursuant to the Administrative Procedures Act.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, that's correct,
you.
Dr. Hunter. And Congresswoman Stabler, this is Morgan Curry. So our regulations like this is much like the hunting and fishing regulations and the water regulations that we've done in years past. So they will follow that same administrative process. There's no requirement that they go back through the Congress. And our Supreme Court has also stated that, in their opinion, is that, you know, once, if they're going through the Administrative Procedures Act, that is Congress's way of passing regulations and trusting the department with the area of expertise to develop the regulations, and that no further congressional review is required.
Okay, thank you.
And as for your last question, we'll only be able to apply these regulations through the Osage Nation courts and on, you know, on certain property within the Osage Nation, and all of that. The limits and things like that will come out in the regulations, and it's also likely that we will come back to the Congress when we determine what types of penalties and violations there are, depending on the level of penalization, whether it has to be in law or can stay within the regulations. It's a balance that we'll have to work through as we draft them. So but most likely we will be back with possibly more amendments to the Cultural Preservation Act or to the burial protection law.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you. Morgan. That's great. And one more little question is, does that mean that we'll only be able to prosecute against natives?
Ms. Curry.
I'm kind of working through that. This would be a civil matter. It would depend on whether it was civil or criminal. For civil penalties, we could fine non-natives as far as penalizing any further than a fine. That will have to be determined later when, you know, with McGirt and everything, the reservation cases coming up, that would have to be determined later. But we could penalize a non-native with a fine.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Curry.
Uh-huh.
Committee, any further questions? What's the committee's wishes? Congresswoman Shaw.
Thank you, Chair. Motion to report ONCA 21-114 to Congress with the due pass recommendation.
Second.
We have a due pass motion for 21-114 to Congress. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Aye. Hearing none. 21-114 will be reported out to Congress. Next on the agenda is adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Thank you, committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Hunter and Morgan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Yes, Speaker, did you make your
cake?
That falls under that.
Cake over the weekend. Justin had too much stuff going on, so everyone was like,
"Let's try." Under there for
Janet was wanting
us
to come. I was like, "I appreciate it, but we've just got too much. Like, we'll just wait till Saturday."
God, I heard you say sure enough.
We're setting the date.
We always used to be.
So yeah, I'm cooking in the morning and then.